You're listening to Live from the Back Room on 106.1 Flip FM. I'm the big boy, and I am here with my long-lost cousin, Bart Crow.
Hey, buddy. How Bart, are you?
Thanks for joining us.
Man, I appreciate the invite.
We were talking before the show. You know, obviously, my name is Crow, last name with an E. You're Bart Crow, no E, which is actually the preferred way to spell it, if I'm going to be honest with you.
I like
you.
To keep it simple, kind of like where my thought process is.
So
pretty simple.
Story goes, my grandfather just is like during World War II is like, I'm going to add an E. So he just did. I don't know. You could do that back then.
Croix,
yeah. I guess looks French, maybe.
Yeah.
He's
trying to impress the French ladies.
Well, he got an English girl, so, you know, something went right,
kudos,
I guess. You know?
Kudos.
Yeah. But, we were joking we could be long-lost relatives because we were both from the greater DFW area.
Yeah.
You were from Maypearl, Texas.
Yes, sir.
Tell people where that is that aren't familiar with the
lay of
the
land.
It's
about 30, 35 miles south of Dallas and Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
You can get there by way of either 35, E or W. And, you either go to, if you're on E, go to Waxahachie and turn west. If you're on W, go to Itasca or Grandview and turn back east.
Both under construction since 1955.
Yeah. Maybe even longer than that. So you can't miss the Pearl.
This is a pretty quirky and impressive story. You guys are kind of living the RV life right now.
Yes, we are nomadic. We rented our house out in Austin. We've wanted to travel forever. My wife's wanted to travel always. And so this was just like, we felt this would be a good time to do it, that we wouldn't lose too much, you know. And we love the school the boys are at. We love everybody over there at the facility. And so it was tough. And then, you know, the whole, I'm going to take off from gigging for the most part for 4 months, 5 months. Like, what? So we just prayed a lot about it. And each little roadblock I threw up, God just like slapped it down. And like, we found someone that rented our house. We found the RV for the right price and the bang for our buck.
Mm-hmm.
We found the vehicle to pull it. You know, it's just like things started dominoing. I'm like, okay, big man, I'm listening. And so, yeah, dude, we took out August 1st and never looked back. And I've got to honestly report back for anybody that cares that I am surprised at how much in love with this traveling lifestyle that I am. I think I can cheat a little because I have 18 years of doing it with a band.
Right.
And that first few weeks in a truck with four young boys and my wife 24/7, it was little challenging, but man, we found our groove and got in our wake, and it's been excellent, man. We've been all over the place. We Palo Duro Canyon, all through New Mexico, Artesia, Roswell, Santa Fe, Colorado Springs, Glenwood Springs, Grand Junction, Fruitia, Moab, Bryce Canyon, Goblin Canyon, Salt Lake, Ketchum, Idaho, Bellevue, Idaho, Idaho Park, Yellowstone. We've done some cool stuff, man.
What a story they're going to have.
Yes. That was my biggest thing. When I was telling a good friend of mine named Kiko, we were at a festival. He plays bass with Stoney LaRue. And I was telling him we were doing this. And he was like, man, that's incredible. And he said, you know, I remember doing that with my grandparents and whenever I was a teenager. And he was listing me all this stuff. And I said, see, that's what I want them when they're, and Kiko's about to be 50. Mm-hmm. He's like, I said, that's my dream right there. When they are our age, 45 and 50, that's what they're going to be talking about. And I love it. And actually, to name drop again, Stoney walked down. I was like, what y'all talking about? Same story.
Mm-hmm.
He did it with his grandparents when they were younger kids. And he rattled off 100 places they went. And I'm like, this is another little thump on the head from God going like, you know, see, this
right.
is a pretty good deal, bro. I got you.
Because I imagine you don't necessarily want to bring them out on tour, you know.
No.
A little bit hard to have your four kids with you when you're playing the Blue Light at, you know, 11 o'clock at night.
Definitely not. Definitely no go there. But I'll take them with me to gigs occasionally, but I fill out what gig it is.
Like, right.
You know, even the Blue Light, the guys over there are so awesome. I wouldn't bat an eye other than I try not to take them into fun bars.
Right.
I try to keep it more to festivals or acoustic shows. Or if mom is there, then, you know, it's whatever because somebody can watch them. But they're old enough that my 10-year-old and the twins are 7. I only usually take one at a time, but they're good about helping at merch and kind of mm-hmm. finding their little spots. And they'll gloat a little bit. Like we did the big festival with Reckless in Artesia And it was like on our third week out of doing this. Mm-hmm. So I had the whole family there. And by the end of the show, you know, a couple of them were standing on stage. And you could tell it's just a, so that other people could see them. So like, yeah, that's my dad. I went up on stage. And that's kind of as a pop, it's like, yeah, kind of flattering a little bit that they don't think I'm just a grouchy butt all the time. That maybe I got something cool in me somewhere.
I love that.
But so far, man, it's been a dream trip. You know, we've been frugal with everything and trying to be smart about spending and not spending. Mm-hmm. And so the whole theme is like national parks, state parks, and skate parks. And that's what we've been doing.
I love that.
And it's funny, too, because my wife is like, yeah, we're going to go hike. It's only 6 miles. And the boys, and I have a tendency to do it myself, just gripe at least half the time.
Mom, dude,
they were, especially when we did the arches in Moab.
Ooh.
The sun came out and the wind quit blowing. Ooh. And I don't know if you've been there, but like the last, I don't know, half mile to mile is all uphill, mm-hmm. like steep uphill up the face of that mountain. And they were fussing and griping, and I'm carrying a backpack with a, I don't know how much poet it weighs, but a 15-month-old baby on my back. Mm. I've had 4 back surgeries, and I'm like, I'm starting to get the stank eye, too. I'm like, man, this thing better blow my mind. But it was great, and we're glad we did it. But I was trying to explain to my wife, I'm like, honey, they're 7 and 10. This isn't fun to them. The sun's out. They're tired. It's going uphill. Heck, knowing our luck, you'll take us uphill to get back somehow. And so she just gets, you know, she gets a butt hurt a little bit. But I'm like, you can't fault them. But,
right.
You know, it's taking some energy.
I'm guessing they slept well that night, though.
You'd be surprised, man. My guys will dig deep to stay up. Because, I mean, we do that or we'll hit the skate park and they'll skate for 3 or 4 hours and then we'll go hike and do something. And I'm like, yeah, Lee, is it bedtime yet? And they're like, hey, can we watch a movie? I'm like, no, why don't you watch the back of your eyelids? But they don't appreciate sleep like their dad
and,
does.
Yeah, you got to learn that, I guess.
Yes, sir. It's an acquired loving. I got a bad attitude and a pretty good heart. One can steal you away, one can tear us apart. I can't say which one you got. But they both love your attention and the perfume that you wear. How you walk through life like a beauty in the room, smile like you don't care. And it wrecks my mind when the come on lines light a fuse and the trouble starts. For my bad attitude, pretty good heart. And I don't mean to be out of line when I think the things I do, but it's part of this war inside of my head. With you, so take these flowers and a good night kiss. Here comes my favorite part. For my bad attitude and my pretty good heart. And I can't say which one you got, my bad attitude or my pretty good heart. My bad attitude or my pretty good heart. My bad attitude or my pretty good heart. think Brooke was getting on to me one day. She's like, you have a really bad attitude. And I winked. I'm like, yeah, but I got a pretty good heart. And that kind of stuck. And I was like, oh, my God, did I say something clever? And so that stuck, and I wrote it down. But I really didn't mess with the song. Like, I just, I'm really bad about that. Like, I'll come up with a line or hear something that triggers something, and I'm 50-50. I used to have an agreement with the universe that if something struck, I would stop and go to work. And I think just, I hate to blame my boys for everything, but I think when you become a parent, sometimes you don't have time to stop and, and spend an hour in silence trying to, you know, create a song per se for my, in this situation. So it kind of came to me in a dream, like the idea of the rest of it. And so I literally woke up one morning and everyone was still asleep. And I woke up from my dream like, oh, one can still, and I don't remember specifically which line I had. And I grabbed my guitar and I went and sat on the back porch and wrote it. And I don't know, it took, I'm not saying they're all like this, so please, this is not a patting myself on the back, but only, you know, 10 or 15 minutes and I had it done. And I'm equally as bad about going back and editing, which is probably why my career is like it is. But I like to just do it and release it and let it be and let it be natural. Like, hey, this is how it came out. This is how, you know, obviously you can find some fancier words and some quirkier lines, but I really don't spend a whole lot of time editing. Plus, in my experience, when we go in the studio, we have so much fun rebuilding and restructuring. And anyway, so I'm like, well, I don't want to waste my time here unless I really am adamant about something. So I popped it down, and then it was more like, and these days, since I don't write a whole lot, I haven't that much lately. It was almost like, yes, I'm not washed up. I still got something in the tank. So it was more of a celebration of I got a song. Just be, I don't know, man. I just sometimes I think that as a parent, and many parents can attest to this, like it's just go, 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 go so much. And I forget to regiment my time and spend time working on my craft. So, but I also, in the last 2 years, recorded 18 songs. So I gave myself a little buffer, like, all right, now I have a little cachet of songs to pull from. Now I'm ahead of my own curve a little bit.
Growing up, you probably bought an entire album, even if there was only one song that you liked on it. I mean, what was an example for you of an album that you were like, front to back, oh, I love how this flows. I love everything on this.
As a teenager, a kid, or like an adult?
Just whenever.
There's several. There's several, and those are the ones that I always love, like the No Skip records. But for me, starting off in an early age, you know, when I got my hands on Straight Outta Compton, and when I had a Too Short tape, and my music love is all across the board because I grew up in a house that played Merle Haggard, George Jones. George Strait was and still is the king in the Crow house, and
same Crow house, yeah, agreed.
Yeah, and so you know, I remember I think it's the Unwound record tape, George Strait.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the title of the tape, but it has the song, that one, start to finish. Everything George Strait. Anytime, like, it was a thing in my house when George was coming out, when Mr. Strait was coming out with a new tape, you know, we were going to Walmart to buy it.
Right.
And so, and then when I was a freshman, a kid moved in from California, and he gave me a freshman year of my life, just everything flipped upside down because, like, in one semester of school, Metallica's Black, Nirvana's Nevermind, Pearl Jam 10, Alice in Chains' Facelift, Blood Sugar Sex Magik all came out. And that was actually, the Chili Peppers came from a kid that moved from California. The other ones came from a kid who moved in from Little Rock and shared this music with me. And whoa, man, my life was like, what is happening? This is incredible. And that was an incredible year of music, man, and growth and living. And then Pure Country was shot in May Pearl. And so when that soundtrack came out.
That is right.
Daddy, I'm right. It is. At Grandma Ivy's house, I used to farm all that coastal hay.
Wow.
For James Bynum, 4-time world champion steer wrestler. And, excuse me. And then the cafe scene, the barbershop scene, all that's downtown May Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that soundtrack came out, you know, that was almost like this weird thing. Those kids in May Pearl's country boys were like a slice of us. Like, like how Hometown Hero, even though George Strait is not from Maypearl at all,
mm-hmm.
but since that little piece was filmed in and around Maypearl.
Yeah, it was Dusty may be from Maypearl.
Yeah, Dusty Wyatt Chandler is from Maypearl. I'm claiming it. But it was almost like not an entitlement, but like we had our hands in the pot somehow. I don't mm-hmm. know. And so that that Pure Country soundtrack start to back was just incredible.
You're a veteran. You spent mm-hmm. some time in the Army.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, didn't want to offend you and say like,
no,
Navy
I wouldn't care. Speak. I'm not one of those. I'm just glad I did it.
Were you playing at that point as well, or is this something you've kind of picked up?
That's where I learned to play the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy that I moved in with in the barracks, he had about 6 or 7 months before he was done and getting out. And he was kind of the upperclassman, if you will, of our company. Everybody loved Jason Kane, and I got lucky enough to become friends with him. And he was just one day told me, he's like, look, man, it's all peacetime. And everybody in this whole dadgum place is just a bunch of bullies on power trips. And they were at that time, 95 to 98. It's so different now because I have so many friends. Like one of my best friends is a Chief Warrant Officer 5, and another one's a First Sergeant, another one's a Colonel. And I'm like, man, when I was in, you guys wouldn't even spit on me if I was on fire. So he's like, man, they're like, things are changed. Things are different. So we're all on the same team. I love that. But Jason Kane told me, he said, man, do two things while you're here. Don't waste your life. You got 2.5 years. You're going to be right here in Fort Stewart. Save as much money as you can and learn something, whether it's a language, guitar, and he played guitar. He's like, just learn something. Don't just sit out here. He's like, because I'm getting out in a few months, and I'm already starting to do my whatever it's called when you're getting out classes and stuff. And he's like, and you'll be there too, pretty much qualify to run a track loader. He's like, kudos if that's what you want to do. He's like, but I don't want to do that. And he's like, and so nobody's hiring tank drivers and tank gunners. And so I did. I got a guitar, and I went back. And my first two things that I had, my dad had played in the 80s in a top 40s country cover band, dance hall band.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought a Mel Bay's Book of Chords, which is nothing but a picture of his hand mm-hmm. and then the drawing of the tabs. And I bought a Robert Earl Keen songbook.
Nice.
And I went to work. And so I did that, and then I'd listen to a bunch of Bob Wills CDs. I was just learning that, and I was probably terrible. And I remember calling a friend of mine back in Maypearl and put him on speakerphone, asked him if it sounded right. And he just goes, man, I don't know how to say this. And he was really nice. He was really sweet about it. He's like, you might want to invest in a tuner. He's like, because guitars need to be. He talked me through it. I'm like, okay, I did not know that. I'm on it. And, man, I was just that annoying dude that just played. But I didn't really go play. I wasn't the guitar hauler and taking it to all the parties. I just, this is how I spent my time in my bedroom and in the barracks, just playing.
Well, do you mind playing something for us?
I do not mind playing something for you. That way, you can get me to shut up.
Yeah. You're listening to Bart Crowe and Live from the Back Room on 106.1 Flip FM.
It's been a long time coming. But she finally made the call. Took a picture frames and everything. Set the nail sticking in a wall. Oh, she left me. Lord, she left me. Like climbing in a bottle, well, I'll do that for fun. I ain't taking no depression pills or anything that makes me numb. Getting over her my way, crying won't bring her home, 'cause I'm putting my boots back on. Gonna find me a little creek bank, stick a pole down in the mud. Gonna drink a beer, get out of here. Gonna miss being in love. Gonna miss being in love. I ain't climbing in a bottle, 'cause I'll do that for fun. I ain't taking no depression pills or anything that makes me numb. Getting over her my way, crying won't bring her home. climbing in a bottle. Hell, I'll do that for fun. I ain't taking no depression pills or anything that makes me numb. Getting over her my way, crying won't bring her home. 'Cause I'm putting my boots back on, I'm gonna call my buddies. Hey, I'm putting my boots back on, I might do a little hunting. Hey, I'm putting my boots back on, I might do a little nothing. 'Cause I'm putting my boots back on.
You're listening to Live from the Back Room, 106.1 Flip FM. Going back to the idea, I'm curious, just as a fan, what is the process to decide what goes on an album?
I just listen to them, and if I like it, and then sometimes I even just write them down and score them with tally marks, just my own thoughts. I try to not ask too many people, because then I'll get butthurt at their opinions. You know, it's like I want to get an opinion, an outside opinion, but then what if I disagree with it? It's kind of like when, I hate this, but I love it too. When someone writes a song and they send it to you, it's like, let me know what you think. It's like, what if I don't like it? Like, do I lie? I'm no critic. Who cares what I think? Except the person that asked
right. Cares
what I think. And I'm a sweetheart. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So it's
it
kind of
like, good.
Yeah. And then if you do give constructive criticism, then I feel like a jackwagon.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if it's like, man, this is good, but I don't know about this, then I feel like who entitled me to think he knows what? So again, overthinker.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I try to just, now I do listen to Nick Jay, the guy I've been working with, the producer I've been working with, because he gets me.
Mm-hmm.
We're buds. He's never bullied me in the studio. He's never like, he's taken my advice, direction. And there's also been times I've had to take his. That's what a good producer is supposed to do. And where, you know, he'll give me some feedback or he'll give me some explanation of why he thinks this. And I'll be like, huh. And then he pulls the other, like, let's just try it. If you don't like it, well. And I'm like, oh, that's super fair. So Nick could give me his 2 cents, and I love that, and I value that. Other than that, man, I don't know. If something's really groovy to me. Now, there has been a couple times where, like, because we listen to them on Alexa at the house, and, you know, there's times where I've caught my wife or even my kids singing or humming something. They may not know the words verbatim, and I'll be like, okay, that's a pretty positive sign,
mm-hmm.
you know, if something's getting sticky in there.
So, Mark Crow, we always ask people, you know, you've done radio interviews before. You talk with people after shows. People always ask you questions, just oddball, normal. But what is the one question no one has ever asked you? There's got to be something in there that the world doesn't know about Bart Crow.
I think there's plenty they don't know about. Plenty. I don't know how you would put it into a question, but I've never been asked about this, but I have a weird thing about socks and brushing my teeth.
Okay, let's hear it.
So my mom and sister still give me crap, but I believe in my soul there's a left sock and a right sock in every pair.
I can see that.
They're not interchangeable.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I was, I don't know, they saw me doing laundry. They or may come up years ago, and they made fun of me because I would put all my socks and stack left side, right side, and then put them together.
This was pre-Army days.
No, it had to be after. I think it's when I moved back to Maple Run and bought a house, and maybe we were having dinner or something in my laundry. And somehow, I don't remember the setup, but my sister's like, what are you doing? I'm like, just folding my socks. She's like, what's going on over there? And I said, well, these are for the left side. This is for the right side. She's like, are you kidding me? But I'm like, if you look at my feet, my pinky toe, like if you, this is crazy. If you were to draw a line, like lay my foot down and draw a line where my big toe ends,
mm-hmm.
which is my longest one. I don't have that second long one. And then my pinky toe, there's like 2-inch difference. Like my foot is very angled.
Right.
And so when you wear a pair of socks, it kind of, you know, gives an imprint, I guess, mm-hmm. or something, stretches out a certain way. And so to combat them, because they were giving me a hard time, so now I buy like, not high dollar, but higher than I've ever paid, socks that come with a left and a right. That way nobody can give me any flip and flap about it.
Bart Crow, where can people find you?
Man, if the kids have it, we have it. Now, I may not personally be the one behind the keyboard, but I think there's a Bark Crow Twitter still. I bailed on Twitter about 2 years ago. Facebook. I just got out of Facebook jail, so we're back on that. I don't hit it. I try to always engage anybody who engages us because I think that's part of this Texas music scene is the availability. I think that's why people love it because we're all just the same. And then Instagram. I'm probably more of an Instagram junkie than anything just because my kids do a lot of stupid stuff and funny stuff. And they do cool stuff, man. They're skateboarding machines. And so I like to post that and be like, hi, my kids are cooler than me. Than me 100%. It will.
And your website is Bark Crow Music?
Yes, sir. All right. Good job.
Thanks.
Somebody did homework.
C-R-O-W. No E.
Yeah, so, keep it simple.
Yeah.
Bark like Bart Simpson, crow like the bird.
You're as pretty as a picture in a movie screen. Your eyes are as pretty as I've ever seen. Your skin is smooth like a sweet sunset. The touch of your hands, one I'll never forget. The first time that it happened, we were just friends. Swore to one another wouldn't happen again. By the third time that I spent a night in your arms, I knew that I was tangled up in all of your charm. If you're lonely again tonight, gotta keep my heart from falling for you. If you're lonely again tonight,